The opinions expressed in this episode are not reflective of Spirit Live and Toronto Metropolitan University.
So I just need to like regulate my system right now, because even though I am true to this and not, I mean, I'm kind of new to this. Like, honestly, when I come up in here, I don't really know what I'm doing. I just, as long as I see that record button red and those two lights under PGM buzz green, I'm like, okay, green is a good color and it's time to put your game face on and lock in. And that's what I've been doing for the past 5 weeks. So, hey guys, and welcome to the season finale of The M Factor. I am so, I just feel good. I am proud that I have some real physical evidence of my 3 years at this university. I am proud. So hopefully there's more to come from here. I think that there will be, especially with that class that we're all about to have to take. What's it called again? Program. I don't know. It's for the practicums, okay? Like something development, program development. Bro, honestly, it's not great that I don't know the name of this class. But who would I be if not spontaneous and a wanderlust lover of adventure? I certainly wouldn't be me. And so therefore, I will be going into that class not knowing what it's called and being okay with it. But yes, this is technically the season finale of The M Factor. And I'm really happy that I did it. I feel like it just allowed me to have a vessel to communicate with people. And it's going to continue to do that because I'm definitely going to continue this show. But I feel like it's definitely opened a door for me to talk to people and honestly not feel pressure. I feel like sometimes when I'm talking to people, I know everybody has places to be and things to do, right? So, and the most of the time being in university, the most of the time I see people is like in passing. So, well, I feel like I can't have the conversations that I would like to the extent that I would like to, just because of time constraints and not wanting to like be in anybody's time and like take up anybody's time. So I feel like having a designated hour and a half to just like sit with people that you vibe with and just chat to them, knowing that like we're both here and we both set aside time for this. So, you know, we don't got anywhere else to be. There's no pressure and there's no time constraints. It honestly is so comforting and it's been really fun. And I'm just excited to do it more and I hope to be able to do it more. And I love it. I started this show because of The M Factor. You know, I started it because people would always tell me like, girl, start a podcast. Your insights are good. Like, we like talking to you. And I also just generally enjoy talking to people. So I was like, okay, YouTube, let me tell you, I tried YouTube. I feel like I shouldn't even say that. Like, there's some things that are just okay to go untapped. But also, I aspire to be free. So I stopped because people were mean and people were judgmental. People who were close to me were judgmental. And I don't want to do that anymore. I don't want to stop, okay? Artists are cringe. Artists are crazy. People are always going to call you cringe before you make it. So I'd rather be true to myself my whole life and, you know, either make it or don't. I mean, I physically cannot accept myself not making it in the definition that I attribute to making it. I don't think it's possible for me to not make it. Like, it's just not, it doesn't click. Like, that's not something in my brain that makes sense. So, but what I'm trying to say is that, like, it's just do everything you can so that when you're old AF and you can't move and you're with your loved ones and they're like, grandma, what is your biggest regret? Or what is the thing you wished for most in life? And grandma's like, I wish that I didn't care what people think. That's the one thing I don't want to do. I don't want to say that to my kids. Like, bro, every old person says that. So I'm trying to be unique. And so I have to make that promise to myself Here's to being a unique grandma whose only regret is who with no regrets. Like, what? Anyways, because this is the final Spirit Live episode of the M Factor this term, I just want to talk about, I think, what is the main reason that, like, I'm okay in life right now. And the thing that's kept me going and the thing that's going to continue to keep me going. And that is optimism. I literally love optimism so much. Let's define optimism. Okay, so thanks to Google. Oh my God, the little diagram is a little yellow happy face in the midst of a bunch of gray sad faces. The gray sad faces are sheep. Don't be like them. Anyways, optimism is hopefulness and confidence about the future or the successful outcome of something. And honestly, I've always been an optimist. There are obviously times where I'm like, dang, like this is so, you know, a bad situation and I wish I wasn't in it and I wish things were different. But I've never once, you know, thought that was the be all end all and like allowed myself to like be miserable onwards, because being miserable is not fun. And I don't like not having fun. I don't like not laughing. But I feel like something that I need to talk about more right now, because it's been affecting my life a lot. I just can't do a finale. Like, I can't just be like, oh my God, kumbaya, like everything is okay. Like, everything is gonna be okay, obviously. But like, you know, I can't do that. I have to vent. There's been something heavy on my heart and I have to let it out. I have to express it. Okay. I have like a severe case of imposter syndrome. I don't want to have it, but I do have it. Don't know where it came from. Don't know why it's here. I mean, I could probably connect it to a lot of things. And am I going to do that right now? No, because that's literally going to take up the entire episode. I might. Let's see. But yeah, I just want to get into that. I feel like the first thing that people notice about me is my optimism and my positivity. But I feel like it comes off as me being an airhead sometimes. Like, if I wasn't a vocal race warrior and didn't like verbalize any of my personal opinions ever, people would think that my head was completely empty. And I feel like sometimes that thought that I have, that people think my head is empty, just becomes like a self-fulfilling prophecy, because I then get anxious that people think I'm not smart. And then that's all I can think about in the midst of a meeting or a discussion or a setting where my input is appreciated. And then that causes me to freeze and produce no thoughts. Like, it's actually such a crazy cycle, because why would that happen? And when did my brain teach itself to behave that way? It's very annoying. And it's not in alignment with who I want to be. I don't necessarily know where that came from. I just get so nervous when people are like, Miriam, like, do you have any ideas? And I'm like, I just assume that somebody else will have a better idea. There's always going to be someone smarter. You can't like avoid that. But it just doesn't feel like there's enough time in the day to do research and to like learn, especially being at uni, especially learning a little differently. Like, I feel like I learn and process things differently. So it's just a bit harder for me to feel like I'm caught up with other people. And because of that, it just makes me a little bit insecure. Like, I have the answers and I can create fabulous products and results in my work. But if you ask me to do anything on the spot, I'm like, whoa there. Just hold on. You have to understand. Please, please, please. So I want to like work on that. I really do want to work on that. And I'm sure that I will be able to. And with that, I'm going to go back to my optimism rant. I have this feeling that I'm literally incapable of failing. And yes, my grade 10 French teacher would like to object to that statement, but I would like to decline that objection, because he was not a vibe. He did not have the M factor at all, like at all. Or was it grade 11? I don't want anybody to catch a stray. No, it was grade 11. I'm so sorry. I liked my grade 10 French teacher. She was cool. You always hear those cliches that say rejection is redirection and failure doesn't exist and everything happens for a reason. And I understand that they're maybe overused. Maybe you're sick and tired of hearing them. Maybe you're just like, ugh, whatever, like get you and your toxic positivity away from me. And look, I know when to not be like, everything is going to be fine. Because sometimes it's just like, girl, bye. Like, please, we want to be sad right now. But they wouldn't be cliches if they weren't like a little bit accurate. Like life cycles have passed with these phrases present and passing by and touching different people's lives. So that just goes to show that they are. So basically these phrases are like roaches. They never die. But like we like them. We don't like the roaches. So basically what I'm saying is that these phrases, similar to roaches, never die. I have been like an immovable object from believing that there is light at the end of the tunnel, like for as long as I can remember. It's just always felt like nothing is the worst and that there's always a way for things to be okay. Now, granted, like I am aware that I am privileged to have so much hope. I feel like the cards that I've been dealt have been tolerable and I do hope that they stay that way. But with that aside, I really do feel like a positive mindset can get you very, very far in life. As I kind of got into in my first episode, I'm pretty sure I developed like full awareness of my power when I was in elementary school. I want to say around the sixth grade, so when I was like 11 and 12. And that also happened to be when I got my first iPhone, the exploding one, the 5C to be exact. And this does connect to something. I'm not just trying to flex on people. Because like, if you're going to buy an Apple product, get it refurbished. Hashtag free Congo per. Yes, grade six. In grade six, I was super forgetful and I was very easily distracted. And this still stands. I am forgetful and I am easily distracted. And so because of this, I would constantly leave my phone at school. I would leave it on my desk. I would leave it in different places at school between periods. I would just always lose track of it all the time. And it did not help that the boys in my class would prank me and take my phone, hiding it and waiting for me to react. And they're so lucky that I wasn't like a tweaker and didn't like freak out at them, because they seriously would have been dealt with. But I feel like, you know, I grew up in an African household with older sisters who used to like tease me. So I knew how to play ball. You know, I developed some tough skin, but like not that tough of skin. I am the youngest, so I was definitely sensitive, but like sensitive in an African household. And so therefore less sensitive in the city of Guelph. So initially upon misplacing my phone, I would feel so scared. Like my heart would drop to my ASS scared. And I was like, what is going to happen when I get home? Like my dad's going to be disappointed. My mom's going to be disappointed by association. Like my sisters are going to be ridiculing me, the distrust. I would lose the clout of having a phone at 11. I was stressed. But then I noticed like, okay, but I always got it back. So I remember literally one day I was at my locker with my friend. I couldn't find my phone and I just stopped worrying. Like I trusted that I would be able to accurately retrace my steps, that my classmates would get it back to me, or that I could look in the eyes of let's call him Joseph. I could look in the eyes of Joseph and stare at him until his mouth curled into a smile. Before he revealed, with no shock to anybody, by the way, because he was a really bad prankster. I wouldn't even call him a prankster. He was just a guy that like did things that he thought was funny. before he revealed that he had my coral pink iPhone the whole time. Very predictable. And little did I know that this little series of events would compile into a principle that I apply to every action that I take in my life, which is don't freak out that badly, because it will be okay. Maybe not right now, but before you know it. Corny. I know, but I literally don't care. Okay. I grew up watching Hairspray and Bratz, where they would all be like shopping together, where they'd all be like, ew, together. I am corn. I love corn, actually. It's one of my favorite veggies. Is it a fruit or veg? That's not the point, though. That's not the point. And I actually have 20 minutes left. So yeah, don't freak out that badly because it will be okay. Part of me deciding to move in life like this was definitely because I got tired of people seeing me freak out. Like, I feel like I would like low-key get really nervous and like start crying and stuff when like I would like lose my stuff, but like I just kept doing it, so I like developed an immunity, I guess. I didn't like freaking out in front of my peers. Like, it was a little bit embarrassing, so I was like, okay, I have to find a way to cope. Like, if I am going to not be able to find a solution to constantly losing my things, I have to be able to deal with it in a way that like makes me come off as nonchalant. Like, I can't I can't be crashing out in front of my classmates. There's street cred to uphold. So essentially, I utilized the forgetfulness and I don't want to say distrust, but the predictability of my actions. And instead of beating myself up for it, I utilized my environment and the pattern recognition in my life to work around it and improve my way of thinking. I think that that's gonna be how I put it. I don't know. I essentially just started believing like you don't lose anything from trusting in something bigger than you, whether that be the universe or God or even just a feeling in your body telling you something. Like, what's the harm in having hope, you know? Or you can choose to not trust in anything and let your anxieties fester in you and have things work out in your favor anyway. Like, now wouldn't you have been way more happier had you just chilled out? I don't know. I remember one time I was on FaceTime with this girl. And this was when I was going to go to York in my actual first year of university. And so I applied. I literally got in 3 days later, red flag number one, because that's kind of crazy. And I, like anyone would do, I was like, okay, York 2025, Instagram, I need to make friends. I want to see what my class is going to look like. I'm so excited. And so I started making friends on the Instagram. I got myself posted on there, or maybe I DM'd somebody or joined a group chat or something. But all I know is that I started talking to this one girl, and she was like, cool, I guess, at first. I mean, cool enough for me to like be like, hey, let's be friends. And I remember we were FaceTiming one time, and again, like, I had this kind of vibe where I didn't like panic or sweat the little things. So I remember, like, and maybe I'm perceiving the situation the wrong way, but I don't think I am. We were FaceTiming, we were like doing schedules and stuff, and she was fixing her schedule and like putting it together and stuff. And my schedule, like, it wasn't like there was something on it that wasn't working. Like, I couldn't fit a mandatory class I had onto it, but I wasn't tripping about it. Maybe that's like maybe that's an actual issue, but I just like didn't. Like, I was just like, it's fine. Like, literally, it's going to be fine. Like, if it was supposed to work, it would work, you know? I'm, like, reciting the story, and I'm like, maybe I am the problem. But I'm literally not. I'm not. So, anyway, my schedule is being super, super weird. I can't submit anything, and I'm just like, okay, like, this is odd. So, I'm vocalizing that. I'm just like, oh, my God, my schedule is, like, not working. And she's like, it's not working. And I'm like, no. And then, like, she kept asking me, she's like, why are you so calm? Like, why are you so calm? And it was in, like, a hating way. And I was like, because it'll be fine. And then, like, you know when you try to do something over and over again and it's just not working? Like, that was what was happening with my schedule. So I got annoyed and I was like, oh, my God, like, why is it working? Like, that, it, like, you know, I raised my voice a little bit and, like, I got annoyed. And she was like, finally. Like, what do you mean, finally? Finally, your friend is stressed? That's weird. That's odd. I didn't like that. Don't bring your negativity around me. Anyway, about a month later, that schedule did not even matter because York rescinded my admission after 7 months of preparation to attend, and I was forced to do a gap year. But now I'm in my third year of university at TMU in a program that I love. So literally the way I didn't even need to stress, because that was just the universe telling me, babe, you're not going. Like, did I know that at the time? No. But it ended up working out anyway. And I feel like that's a great testimonial to, like, just kind of letting go and obviously working hard to achieve what you want. But honestly, you can only work so hard. you do everything that you can to get what you want, and then you let the world do the rest. And if it's meant to be yours, it will. But if you did everything in your power and you did not get what you wanted, babes, something better is coming. Like, there's no point in, like, beating yourself up for it. Now, if you, you know, didn't do your best and you didn't succeed, then I'm like, okay, valid. You could feel a little bad about yourself. But honestly, if you worked hard and you know you worked hard, babes, literally, just know that there's something good's coming. All right? Sounds good. Yeah, my testimonials aren't, like, groundbreaking, but I feel like most people's lives aren't groundbreaking, and we shouldn't look at once in a lifetime experiences to motivate us, you know? Like, of course they're super cool stories and they can definitely be inspiring, and sure, they can be used as motivation from time to time, but I also think that we should learn to get used to the mundanities of life being driving factors to keep us going. Constantly looking to once-in-a-lifetime experiences to motivate you will make the things that aren't as groundbreaking so vague that you don't consider them aspects of life to be motivated from. And I mean, this is like something that I've kind of recently just thought of, so it's not like I've like put this into action and have unlearned it, but I am definitely gonna try to. Like, why not? Like, I was literally streaming into applied courses in high school, even though I emphasized my desire to attend university. And I'm literally attending university. So it's like, things worked out. Thank you for listening to episode 5. I hope that you enjoyed it. I hope it was super chill. And I hope that, you know, it kept you company. I hope it kept you company. I hope that, like, you know, I'm just like a little friend. And for those of you who are my friends, I hope that you never get tired of hearing this voice. And how could you? You won't. I loved doing this. Like, truly.